This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that lead the show are NASA. Wrong box. What did I do? All right, let's do it that way. Girls can take free coding workshops at Microsoft. Twitter plans to expand its verified service to anyone. You can automatically drop poor Wi-Fi on your iPhone. And we're going to have a lengthy discussion on screen time. Plus, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1264 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, March 8th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. All the longtime listeners, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. If you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome to the Geekness Central podcast for the very first time. It's really important that you're here, and I'm glad to have you as part of our listening and viewing audience. We want you to take time to get subscribed to the show, and to do that, it's real simple. All you got to do is visit geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, just subscribe to the show. Right on the right-hand column of the website, there's a place right there for you to subscribe, either via Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, soon to be Spotify. And of course, you can just use a standard RSS feed. Of course, all those episodes, again, are at geeknewscentral.com. We've got a newsletter that you can sign up for as well. That newsletter contains everything I talk about during the show. Guaranteed to get every episode if you sign up for the newsletter or subscribe to the podcast. That's the most important way to stay connected here at the show. I do this show live via live.geeknewscentral.com. Of course, I'm online on Facebook Live and on YouTube as well. So definitely check that out. Hey, if you've got a comment on today's show, it's real simple. At Geek News on Twitter. That's one way to get through to me. You can also email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. You can join our Slack channel. Just drop me an email if you want to be part of that. You can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on the Apple TV. And just got to search for Geek News there. You can listen on the Amazon Echo, on the Google Home device, on your Microsoft Cortana device. Essentially, all you have to do to tell those devices and how you get the show is to play Geek News Central. So that's how you get that going. And sometimes you have to say, play the podcast. You can figure it out. Won't take too long. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, being written by my GNC team, The New Media Show, hosted by myself and Rob Greenlee, and of course, Podcast Legends. All those links can be found, to those shows can be found at geeknewscentral.com. This show is supported by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. Of course, that is our good friends at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy has been with us since essentially about June of 2005. And all my great deals, again, are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Once you're over there, we want you to take advantage of all the discount codes I have available for you, whether it be a 30% off their products and services, a 99cent.com, whether it be a 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. But really, where the big value is in the hosting services, whether it be a dollar, the economy hosting, or the managed WordPress hosting. Really, it's all about a dollar a month for 12 months. And those two offers include a free domain. So definitely check all my codes out. Again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Save. Now, you know, I saw a commercial, I believe, where was I at? A dentist's office, I think. There's a TV on, and it was Danica Patrick and talking about her website that she built with a website builder. That was a pretty cool commercial, but really it sums up everything I've talked about for a long time with GoDaddy. Everything you need to be online to start a blog is there, or to do your business, or to set something up for a friend or family member, or get a domain and lock in your digital presence. Lots of new top-level domains are online and available today. I know I've bought a lot of them myself. So definitely check out all the products and services at GoDaddy. Use my codes where they're appropriate. Again, just come over to the website at geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. We appreciate your support. It is greatly appreciated. Keeps the lights on here. And really, the only way they stay sponsoring this show is every month, your ongoing support and picking up products and services over there. We did get the February numbers. They were a little off from the past couple of months, but I am not complaining. We had had great numbers. Want you all to dig deep and come in March and definitely check those products and services out. But overall, I'm very, very pleased, and thank you for your ongoing support of our sponsor here at Geekness Central, which is GoDaddy at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, so to get into a little bit of info before we get into the topics of the day, business taxes are done. I just got to go pick them up and write the big check to the CPA and take it, sign it, and send it off to the IRS. I've got a whole stack. And literally a whole stack of stuff down here to my left that is all my personal taxes. So I'm going to go there with a new pile, hand them off, and then grab the packet and everything else and write the check. And hopefully within a couple of weeks here, I will be done with the taxes, and we'll see what the damages are for the year if I have to write Uncle Sugar a check or not. So that will all depend if we paid enough in throughout the year. So I have my fingers crossed. On my wife, though, her job, she had her withholding kind of a little too high. And I was just like, oh, that's going to hurt. That's going to leave a mark because I know we underpaid on her taxes. So we'll see where it all boils down to in the end. So, it is what it is. You just have to pay your due, as all of us know. There's one thing that is for sure in this world, and it's death and taxes. And this type of year is always filled with apprehension. So what's been happening this week? I've been doing a lot of planning for NAB. We've just designed a new backdrop for our booth, getting together the handouts that we're going to have. All the little things that we need, our swag that we're going to be offering, we're reintroducing something we've had from years past. When I get one, I'll show it to you. So I'm excited about that. We ordered 2,000 swag items for NAB. We're not taking that many. We always put these in stock and then use them for the next couple of years. And then, so anyway, hotels are booked, airlines are booked. We're talking about everything that we're going to need to have in. There's four team members from Raw Voice that are going to be going to the NAB. I'm kind of wearing two hats again, and my team knows this. So I'll be there with an exhibitor badge. I'll be sneaking off and meeting with companies as well as press. So it's kind of weird. I'm there exhibiting, but for this show and for ProGear.Guru, really, it's all about getting some content for that site as well. So busy time approaching here, second week of April. And then things get really crazy throughout the rest of the month. Also been doing some long-term business planning, not only for here with my company here that I do this show under and do the podcast awards, but also stuff with Raw Voice and our planning and our dev development and looking at revenue projections and whether or not we can afford to move to a new space and everything that goes along with running a business, raises, reviews, employee reviews, all that stuff. It just kind of stacked right up here. So, but pretty good week. Not too stressful for me. So I'm happy with that. We've got great workouts in, including today. So I bounced in here about 6:15. And I'll be honest with you. Kirk saves me, gives me about an extra hour that I have never had on Mondays and Thursdays. So normally I start my show prep when I was doing it on my own about 5 o'clock. With Kirk, I can get in here about 6, go through the review, check if there's anything else I want to add, and then be ready to blast pretty much on time. That includes dinner, shower, dealing with, you know, whatever's going on here. So really, I'm pretty pretty pleased with everything. And it again, I'm allowed me to get me a workout in today, which is worth its weight in gold. So what else is in my stack? I want to talk just a little bit. And I was, this, my mom kind of triggered me on this. It really wasn't a trigger. She had heard something today. Some radio broadcaster had made a comment. And I think it's important here. And I think you all know this already. So you guys are part of the audience and part of the Ohana of Geek News Central. But at the same time, you have your own audience and influence, right? So my hope is that there's some trickle down, being that when I talk about different things in the show, that it gets you to thinking and that it allows you to develop your own opinion, you know, whichever way you come out on an article or a topic, so that you can go and influence your audience either by Facebook or Twitter or people that you're talking with at the water cooler, whatever it may be. So this show, and I'm influenced really by what I'm, my social, what I'm exposed to for information that's being shared. And today I have to be real careful if I'm looking at information and trying to dig out biases and all that. And you folks should do the same thing. And then ultimately what it is, we develop this chain reaction of opinions. And we really, truly, as an Ohana here, can really make an impact external of this show and external of you through your influences and ideas and information that you put out to your friends and people that you know and stuff that you retweet from the show and the stuff that you agree with and disagree with. And it really, and so and so forth. So I'm hoping that as we grow, continue to grow this show together, as all of you see stuff that you say, I want this to, I have a really strong opinion on this topic, and it may be something I don't always cover. I want you to send it to me because your influence back to me allows me to share that information with the Ohana, and your thoughts and processes can be spread further still. So it's a, you know, it's a kind of a big circle here. So ultimately what I really want to see happening is I don't want you guys to become the producers of the show. That's not what I'm asking, because we're still going to go through and do our due diligence and dig things out and break stuff down for you, in the Geek News Central way. Kirk helps the catalyst with the finding the stuff, and him and I are pretty synced up here on content. And then ultimately, you guys can help feed the beast here. And it really starts with an email to the show by dropping an email to geeknews@gmail.com. And it, you know, it even though news drops today, everything we look at for the show goes back as much as 18 to 20 hours. But if you see something that you think needs to be brought into the rotation, even though it's a couple of days old and we need to talk about it, again, it starts this chain reaction of the Ohana having an audience themselves, and we can share and really kind of grow together. So, in essence here, your guys' sphere of influence is just as important as my sphere, my circle of influence to you, And then we can really make big changes together. We can, you know, if you think about it, take this audience and do this global expansion. Sure, there's a limit to our sphere, but ultimately what will happen is if you influence someone that you know, that you think they should listen to this show, then what we do is we add a body to the, essentially to the audience, which then gains us access to more people from their sphere of influence. So in essence, feed me what you're thinking. And it doesn't have to be a comment on something that I've talked about during the podcast, but it could be something that's made you go, here's my opinion on this. I'll share your opinion and I'll add my 2 cents worth too. And together we can kind of advance things. So feel free to suggest stuff to the show. I really want a more sphere of feedback. And really, to be honest with you, the best way for me to process that and get it in the stack is to send it via email. And then what I will do is on commentary that comes in that submits content, we'll move that into the regular stack. And even though I'll talk about it as being provided by someone from the Ohana, then it's not necessarily at the end where it may get lost. So we'll put it in the stack where I see fit in the middle of the show. So definitely let's work on that. And thanks to my mom for kind of remaking me think of, yeah, we've got this great Ohana and the great listeners of this and viewers of this show, but at the same time, they have their spheres of influence and their audience as well on social media, Twitter, and et cetera, that we want to use to build an army of followers here that we can influence on tech issues and political stuff that affects us as tech users. I don't want to get into politics per se, because each of us are going to have our own politics, left or right, dead of center, hard right, hard left. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care what your politics are, as long as you listen to the show and add your input as well. It's really, really important. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say. And just lastly, before I get into the content, because I've taken a lot of time here at the beginning of the show to kind of chit-chat through this, is I will say that I believe since I have switched to primarily desktop and laptop Mac only, and really not use Windows as much over the past month or so that we've kind of made this transition here, I really think that I'm gaining efficiencies. And I can't explain it, but even post-show production, I'm finding to be more efficient than it was. Now, how much more efficient? 10% maybe. You know, but for me, 10% is huge over the longevity of this show. You know, if I can save 10, 15 minutes on production based upon the changes we've made here, I think it's really, really big. So I'll try to narrow that down and talk more specifically about it over time. But it's just little things. I mean, really, you know, a click here, a click there that I'm saving, that maybe I had to do something a little different to load an application. It is just a little more efficiencies I'm finding. Hard to believe, truly is, because going from my desktop purely Mac, where on the before it was just doing the video processing on the Mac, is really kind of opened my eyes. And maybe if I went all Windows and got rid of the Macs, maybe I'd have seen these same efficiencies. I don't know. But I had a mixed house here for many, many years. Talked with a good friend of mine out in Maine. He just giggles because in the early days, him and I had Mac PC wars. I was dogging on Macs. He was dogging on PCs. And now I've kind of come his way. He's just giggling. He thinks it's fantastic. So he says I was the catalyst, or he was the catalyst for me moving over to the dark side. Well, for him, it really wasn't the dark side, but yeah, you know what I mean. Okay, let's get into the stack of content that we have today. And I want to start off by, today's a big day. This is where, it's a National Women's Day where we recognize the ladies. And of course, a lot of companies were talking about things that women accomplishments, the SpaceX team had all their women engineers and their part of their staff out for a big picture. And I really think, you know, if I look at my team at Raw Voice, you know, we have a good mix of devs, both men and women, and Mackenzie, who I work with very, very closely. You know, it's, we have this great dynamic, and I think for in the tech space, that's really, really important. And I, of course, us being geeks that listen to this show, I think we're all looking for opportunities for our kids. So this month, girls can take free coding workshops at Microsoft stores. This to me is really, really cool. So while you can hand a girl some stats on why she should consider pursuing a career in advanced, whether it be coding or engineering, it's far more inspiring to let her hear from real women who are doing the work. You know, you can't become what you can't see. And I have to be very straight up in my growing up experience. I was involved in 4-H as a, and of course I was a country boy, so we had, animals, but part of 4-H also had projects in woodworking and electrical and arts. And it just wasn't farm boy stuff. It was a pretty wide variety of different skills. And for me, I got exposure early on to a whole bunch of different things. And I found out that I wasn't good with a hammer. I wasn't good in woodworking and that type of stuff. I learned working with my dad that I didn't like mechanical stuff. I didn't like going out and turning wrenches. Some people love that, and we all appreciate that. Matter of fact, I gave him a bunch of money last weekend for folks that do that job. And then, but I did find that I really love doing electrical and electronics, and that, you know, that kind of spurred my career decision. When I went in the Navy, I went into an electronics field. I would have never had done that had I had not had exposure to those different types of skills and opportunities when I was a teenager, and in starting from about, well, from about 10 on the way up. So for me, it truly, those experiences truly shaped how I chose to go in a career. And I knew where I was going and what I was going to do and what I wanted to do when I turned 18. So many kids today, they don't get this breadth of experience or exposure, and they really don't know what they want to do or have a inkling when they're 18 or 19 and they're getting ready to go to college or trade school or go in the military or whatever it may be. They take some extra time to find that out. And I think it sets so many young adults a number of years behind and could affect them over their lifetime. So when I see opportunities like this, if you can get your daughter, and we're talking about, this is, you know, a special day. If you can get your daughter to a Microsoft store across the country, girls from ages 11 to 18 can meet astronauts, pilots, computer science leaders, all women who will be talking about how science, technology, engineering, math, STEM was critical in their journeys. And the free DigiGirls, DigiGirls events, of course, are in celebration of International Women's Day and will take place on select Saturdays in March. Each will include a coding workshop. So if you're in striking distance of a Microsoft store and you do not have, and this is important. So let's say you have a Microsoft store that's 40 miles away. I know many of the people that listen to the show live in middle America. They don't live in a big city, but they're within driving distance of a big city. Please, please, please take the time for your kids to give them some extra exposure here. If you can make the drive to take them to one of these events and get signed up. I can't tell you, and I'm speaking to obviously to parents here that have younger kids or even young adults. And I think this is, most of you are pretty, and what we call here in Akamai, you're pretty up to speed on this stuff. But if you haven't thought about this and don't have the availability in your town to get them some of this type of exposure, it's huge. It's a huge opportunity to at least get them one day in and get them a little bit of an idea. And for the girls, my devs that are women are fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And, there is no difference in their work between the guys and the gals. They all do the same work. Every person has their different levels of skill sets, and it comes, with age. But, girls and women are capable of doing anything out there these days. So, I hope we're way past the stereotypical stuff. I think we're in a pretty modern age now, but I worked with women pilots before. I've never met a woman astronaut, but, I've met a lot of leaders. I've had opportunities to meet women at the National Labs, at Johns Hopkins, at a variety of places that are very, very big national institutions, well-renowned, and met some amazing women that are literally rocket scientists in their field. So I think this is cool. So anyway, good job on Microsoft for offering this up. Apple provided some resources for the ladies as well, a selection of songs, movies, TV shows, books, and podcasts created by, about, or inspired by women across Apple Music, iTunes, and iBooks, as it did last year. Look for featured banners in the iTunes store. Tap on the browse section in Apple Music. So very, very cool stuff here for the ladies today. And these types of opportunities, we need to give all our young adults opportunities to have exposure in all these different areas. Now, some young adults, they're not going to want to do STEM, but that's okay. Whatever someone's passion is, we need to work as an Ohana to make sure that our Ohana, our big family here, that our kids get some opportunities to do what they want to do and get exposure, or maybe decide this isn't really what I thought it was going to be, and I do not want to do this. When I worked with my dad as a ditch digger, my dad had bulldozers, backhoes, cranes, you name it, and we dug ditches. That was what we truly did. We cleaned ditches, dug ditches. It was back-breaking, hard, dirty work. And while it was rewarding, and you could see every day what you accomplished and had pride in that, I knew that I did not want to be a ditch digger when I grew up. Okay. There are people that love moving dirt, and I love people that move dirt. It's a great job and a great opportunity. And those folks usually make very good money, but it wasn't for me. But life experience, have exposure. And the more exposure we give our young adults, the better. All right, let's move on here. Twitter plans to expand its verified service to anyone. Jack Dorsey admits the current system meant to indicate authenticity is broken. So they're going to figure out how to get more of those blue checkmark verification badges to more of its users. He said that the company's working on a new process to verify people's identity and ensure credibility. He said, we want to be one of the most trusted services in the world, and we know we have a lot of work to get there. Why don't we just, can we not submit our driver's license? Isn't that enough to say, this is who I am? Approve me? And so anyway, we'll see what happens here. And if they actually figure out how to make this happen. How many, I see this all the time. I spend a lot of time out of the studio. And I'm out and about. And I'm sure you've seen it too. Let me take a shot of water here. You've been at the house with your iPad or your phone, and you've had it turned on to the house Wi-Fi. You walk out the door, and let's say you go to Starbucks. We're just going to use Starbucks as the example. And you get down there, your Wi-Fi is still turned on, and it automatically attaches to the free Wi-Fi at Starbucks. And you sit down with your latte, and you're trying to surf the net, and things aren't working very good. And you say, oh, the Wi-Fi here sucks. And you click on settings, you go to Wi-Fi, you turn your Wi-Fi off, and then you just use your data. We've all done this. Every one of us have done that. Poor Wi-Fi networks are a curse. And often, if the network is slow or the signal is weak, you're better served by disconnecting. But continually connecting and disconnecting from Wi-Fi networks is, let's be honest, it's annoying. There's something out there, a new app called Wi-Fi Assist, and it's only available to iOS devices. But when I saw this tonight, I was like, if this truly works the way they describe it, I'll have it on my phone tomorrow. What it does, it's hidden away in the iPhone settings app. And if you start using the feature, you just basically turn Wi-Fi Assist on. And then what it's going to do, it's going to see how good the Wi-Fi network is. And if you start to open a web page using a Wi-Fi network, and it either loads very slowly or cuts out in the middle, Wi-Fi Assist will automatically engage and throw you into your data on your data plan. And the feature just doesn't work on websites. So engage anytime an app struggles to load data. That means apps like Maps, Apple Music, and Mail are all covered. So if you have an unlimited data plan or you have a small, if you have an unlimited data plan, it's probably safe to use this. If you have a small data plan and you're very cognizant of when you're on Wi-Fi and when you're not, this may not be the app for you. But for me, I'm constantly going in and turning it off or turning it on, see if I can get good Wi-Fi. If this will do the way it says it, if this works the way it says it works, woohoo, sign me up. So I'll let you know. I'm going to be loading it. I'm going to be testing it. One thing that all of us are going to face, doesn't matter if you've got young kids now, teenagers, doesn't matter if you're going to be a grandparent, doesn't matter if you are a grandparent, there is going to be some debate in your home and in your family about screen time for the youngins. It happens here all the time. And usually it's like, put your phone down and take a break. Or put the iPad down, or get off the computer, right? These, you know, we're a bunch of digital junkies here, just like anyone else. And I can't really tell my 21 and my 20-year-old what to do. You know, I can advise them, like, you know, one night he played games all night and then had trouble getting up in the morning to go to school. And I was kicking his butt out of bed and forcing him to get up when short sleep. I'm like, listen, your job is to go to school, not play games all night, and a little head-to-head confrontation. But when it comes to the 14-year-old, I have a little more stick and rudder there, right? And I can monitor what he's doing, and I can shut him down. And as a grandparent, you may scold your kids for letting their children have too much screen time. And this is big. This is a big debate going on. And everyone has their allowable tolerance level on how much screen time they give their kids. Personally, I think that screen time for younger kids is more dangerous than as they get, well, it's as dangerous as they get older. It's just different. But, you know, the iPad has become a babysitter for a lot of parents. We are going around Disneyland, and I can't tell you how many strollers I saw with kids sitting in the strollers looking at an iPad and not really enjoying Disneyland. And I was pretty appalled because I'm thinking they just spent $200+ to get in here. And the kid is on their tablet as they're walking around. And, you know, you just want to walk up to someone and smack them when you see that, right? You know, you brought your kid. If you came to Disneyland for you and not your kids, it's something wrong here, right? We know that conventions around children watching TV took years to evolve. And even now they continue to do so. And back in the woeful young years, and non-technological years of 1999, the American Academy of Pediatrics put a policy that recommend no TV for children younger than two. The original recommendation of no screens before two was so clear, so defining, that it felt really good. Parents were like, I know what the rule is and what I need to do be to be a good parent. Then things have been revived over time. And now we are dealing with the internet being nannies for our kids. And then they revised some TV stuff now and tablet time, no screen time before 18 months instead of 2 years. And then, okay, what do you let them see at 18 months? I think we have a high risk of raising internet junkies. They get that melatonin fix on the internet at too young of an age. So where are you setting your limit? I don't think any of us need research to tell us that phones can be dangerous. I think we can all deduce the ills from their overuse. And matter of fact, my 14-year-old, we had a little run-in here with some homework that didn't get done. And it was after Friday I came home and I'm like, we're in the car and I'm like, is your homework all done? Are you all caught up from being on the trip? Everything turned in? Yep. And Saturday or Sunday midday, I'm like, let's log in to your student portal and I want to check and see where every stuff is at. And we did that. And much to his chagrin, I said, how come these assignments are missing? Oh, I haven't got to him yet. Well, now the story changes, but yet I'd allowed him to play a few hours on Saturday, play on his PlayStation. And I'm just like, of course, you know, smoke starts coming out of my ears because first of all, neglect on my part. I should check Friday when we got home to make sure everything was done. I neglected to check until Sunday. So what we did Sunday, we spent 3 or 4 very painful hours of getting work caught up that should have been done, you know, Saturday, or actually should have been done probably Thursday or Friday of the previous, before the weekend. And so what do I do? I'm take the screens away, right? Okay. You know, it's you're locked out, no screens, and that ban is currently still in effect. Now, if you need to do something for your class, then you're going to get time to edit your videos for your so forth. But other than that, no. And my son talked to me on Tuesday in the car, and he said, "Yeah, Dad, I needed the break. I needed the break from the computer." And so he was able to recognize that there was an issue, maybe even a little more than Dad did. So we've tightened up here a lot. So when this article hit today on The Verge talking about screen time, I think it's a good debate for all of us to have internally in our own homes and with our friends and people that we love. And be prepared, though. There's varying different opinions out there. We just have to be careful. Hey, Rita, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Jonathan as well. Jared, y'all, thanks for watching tonight on Facebook. Thanks for being here. And if you're on YouTube, we don't worry. You can come over to live.geeknewscentral.com and see the show as well and be in the chat room over there. All right, let's move on. A lot more to go through tonight. You have problems with Netflix on your Android device? Well, I guess you're not alone. So I've got a how to fix that article. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Also, Lyft, you know, I heard Uber is starting to do some long drive trucking test across a state and using real drivers for the last few miles of that's in place. But Lyft is rolling out its self-driving cars on a new test track. So they're doubling down on self-driving vehicles, and they feel that they're making major strides, and they want to get to level 5. And that's basically where they can cut the car loose and be on its own without a driver behind the wheel. So time will tell on this, but self-driving is rapidly coming. Apparently, during the Olympic Games, hackers tried to frame Russia and North Korea. Kaspersky Labs, of course, I don't know if we can trust them. Researchers say the clues left behind in the 2018 Winter Games was designed to pin the attack on other countries. So when the Olympic destroyer hit the 2018 Winter Games in South Korea, the reports were attributed to Russia and North Korea. But anyway, they say that wasn't where they came from. But they really are not pointing in the right direction yet. So I don't know if we can trust this report or not. But hey, how about a little tough talk with North Korea may have moved the needle a little bit, huh? Finally, someone stands up to bully and says no. We'll see if it has any, if it actually comes to fruition, if they actually start willing to come to the table and talk like a civilized country. I'm doubtful, to be honest with you. It's usually a ploy. All right, Gmail Android app has been updated with support for inbox types. And so if you are using this on your desktop already, where you can set the priority for a specific set of emails, you can actually classify emails, whether or not they're important or if they can be put a little further down the stack. So that is in your Android app that's been updated. So make sure you grab that. Also, I'm sure some of you have seen your paychecks increase, and we've gotten some private feedback from all of you that didn't want me to read your comments on the show, but probably had a half dozen emails from you from my comments at the very end of the last show saying that you're getting anywhere between a 90 to the high of like $300 more per month in your paycheck, which is awesome. But if you need to update your W-4 now that the tax cuts are taking effect, you may want to do so. So if you want to make some information, make some changes, and there's calculators out there now to help you give you a better idea where you're going to be at the end of the year. If you want them to take a little more, a little less, you do some planning now, and there's lots of tools. So I have a link up to that in the show notes to give you the ability to run some numbers to figure out where you're going to be at the end of 2018. All right, GOP Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana is introducing his own net neutrality fix, but critics are not specifically happy with this particular proposal. He may be the tie-breaking vote to overturn the FCC's repeal of net neutrality. So his bill wouldn't prevent broadband and wireless companies from offering paid prioritization. So the only thing that he has in his bill is that it would prevent them from slowing down or blocking access to a website or internet service. So it's not 100% where it needs to be. The activists out there are not happy with his particular approach, basically saying, again, it doesn't go far enough. And we'll see what happens with this. But this thing is not over by any means when it comes to net neutrality. As a little tip here, how many of you have traveled? And I do this all the time. I arrive early in the morning in a location, usually Vegas, and I can't get a room. I have to wait until the afternoon to check in, but yeah, I've got my luggage. So I roll it to the hotel, and the hotel usually hold it. But if you're going to a location where your first stop is not necessarily close to where your accommodations are for the evening, where you can't just run over and drop them and then, you know, go do the tourist thing, there's all kinds of services out there. I even saw this in San Francisco, where you could drop a bag at a business and they would hold it all day for you. But if you're traveling in France, UK, Italy, Spain, there's a place, there's a service called Nanny Bag, and it's basically businesses, standard businesses, restaurants, shops that will hold your bag for as much as 24 hours for about $6 a bag. Another one is a City Stasher. It's available in UK and Paris. Luggage Hero is available in New York, London, and Copenhagen. Knock Knock City is available in New York with plans to expand to San Francisco. Verto, V-R-T-O-E. Again, these are all luggage services. Most of them offer insurance of your bags too. So, like anything else, just remember jewelry and cash that you put in your checked luggage on the airline is not insured. If it gets stolen, the airlines do not have, basically in the fine print, they will not cover your jewelry. Same thing with any of these services. You keep jewelry, cash in your bag and get stolen, they're not liable. So you just use some common sense. But a good way to stash your bag, if you're going to be traveling and you're not going to be close to your accommodations where you can drop specific at the hotel with the bellman. Star Wars icon Mark Hamill got his Hollywood star. So if you, those of you that are Star Wars fan, congratulations to Mark Hamill. And it was added to the Walk of Fame. And so way, way, way overdue here. He was with George Lucas and Harrison Ford. So fantastic, fantastic for Mark Hamill. And that's your Hollywood Insider Report for this show. Hey, the burger flipping robot is getting a 4-day break. And we had a couple hard days at work, and they're giving it 4 days off. Now, the good news is, if you're worried about a robot taking a job, it turns out even mechanical laborers need a break. Only a single shift into his career, the Kelly Burger Restaurant in Pasadena, California this week, Flippy the Robot Burger Flipper, is going on hiatus just for a few days. They're going to be taking it back and making some tweaks. They learned some things. According to reports, the robot did its job well, but was such a hit with customers that Miso Robotics is giving Flippy time off for the weekend for some upgrades. So, again, they're going to refine this. We'll see how this does. And startup Momentum Machines has raised $18 million to take its burger robot into fast food joints, and other companies are building machines that make pizzas and salads. So, wow, a salad machine, really? the job is going to be in repairing those, folks. That is the future. Someone's got to fix the robots. 5 senators have agreed that search engines should censor drug information. Now, you may not be in a point in your life where you have to do research on your prescription, but I have been given a prescription for a time or two. Matter of fact, I have one sitting here that I've been taking for a while that, you know, they give you that little sheet of paper when you get the prescription for the first time. It's got 25 pages of warnings, right? How your hair is going to fall out and everything else from the medication that you're taking. But oftentimes I will Google information on a specific type of prescription I've got. Now, I know some people Google to try to find over-the-counter drugs and be able to buy them illegally. Now, to be honest with you, I would not trust to buy any type of over-the-counter drug online, because more than likely what you're going to get is fake. But I know people do that. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to force search engines censor drug information. There's a lot of legitimate sites out there that give legitimate information about drugs that you may be taking as part of a legal prescription. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of information about the other substances as well, but the senators want Google, Microsoft, Yahoo to take the following steps: direct users to a legal and legitimate pharmacy that would require a valid prescription as a condition of sale when users search for medicines on each platform, disable the ability to search for illicit drugs through platforms, requiring each platform to report to a law enforcement when that platform receives information indicating the company wants to advertise the use or sale of illicit narcotics, establish a 24/7 telephone point of contact with whom law enforcement can communicate directly with, and incorporate training for each platform security reviewers to enable them to better recognize these threats when they first arise. Let me tell you a little something if you haven't traveled outside the United States. If you're in Mexico, Thailand, Philippines, you can get almost any non-hard narcotic drug over the counter at a legitimate pharmacy without a prescription. If you want to, for example, get amoxicillin or any other type of antibiotic per se, you can go to almost any drugstore outside, in many countries outside the United States, especially in Asia, and you can just buy the medicine right over the counter. Now, we all know that there's big risk for people doing this on their own, but that's the way it is in other countries. So you may see when you're searching for a specific drug, you may see it offered online, but it's generally in a country that has this type of ability to do that. And I don't know how, just because we have much, much tighter controls of pharmacies here in the United States, how they're going to enforce this or ask Google to block this type of information. So I don't think this is going to go through, but both Senator Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Grassley, Amy Klobuchar, John Kennedy, and Sheldon Whitehouse, who are members of the Senate Caucus on International Narcotics Control, believe that the search engines can lock this stuff out. So it's an interesting potential of some legislation coming to try to do censorship on information on drugs online. California's first proposed per-ride city tax to raise Uber Lyft prices. So basically, Oakland, California is enacting or beginning to float the idea of taxing ride-hailing companies like Uber and Lyft as a possible way to raise money. So they're looking to add some taxes on a per-ride basis. I hope they're doing this for the taxi companies as well. San Francisco is projecting a fee of 20 cents to a dollar per ride, which would raise about $12 to $62 million annually. Oakland is looking to add, Oakland Airport already is imposing a $3.70 per passenger fee to Uber and Lyft. So other cities like Chicago are thinking about doing this. Oh, they already do. Seattle and Chicago already impose fees from 14 to 40 cents per trip. And so anyway, this is the tax man cometh, the tax man taketh away. They're going to get their pound of flesh out of us one way or the other. More than 150 Android apps tried to infect phones with Windows malware. So Oh, that was cool. That's the first time I ever done that. I took a drink and I splashed my glasses. Usually finding malware in the Google Play Store would be a bad thing. Finding several hundred apps with thousands of downloads would be substantially worse. So, but in this case, it's no big deal. The newly discovered malware apps don't actually contain Android malware. They have Windows malware. So security researchers with Zscaler detected the first infected app several days ago, but then more than 150 with the same signature popped up upon further investigation. As it happened, these apps are carrying the same malicious Windows payload discovered in Android apps last year. This likely is an example of bumbling malware creators loading the wrong code. Rather, developers were using machines infected by now defunct botnet. So Android users not need fear the Ramit infected apps, but they can't cross domain infect. Oh, funny. California becomes the 18th state to introduce right to repair bill. Why are they so far behind? So California will join Washington, Massachusetts, Vermont, New York, Hawaii, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, North Carolina, Nebraska, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Virginia. Hawaii has this already. We have plenty of stores that can fix stuff, have repair parts available to buy as well. So we'll see where this goes. But California become the 18th state to introduce this. A judge has said that the president's blocking on Twitter, he made some comments. I guess there was a hearing. A federal judge in Manhattan in a hearing today suggested that the president should maybe mute instead of blocking his critics on Twitter. The judge in Knight versus Trump encouraged the parties to reach a settlement. Otherwise, they ran the risk of establishing legal precedent that they may not like. Columbia University Knight First Amendment Institute sued the president in July on behalf of seven Twitter users that were blocked by the president. The suit argues that the president's Twitter account is a public forum under First Amendment law and that blocking critical voices imposes a viewpoint-based restriction that violates the First Amendment. In addition, blocking Twitter users theoretically prevents them from being able to access official government communications. The White House has confirmed, this is probably going to go against them then, that the president's tweets are indeed official statements. Blocked users are still capable of reading the tweets by logging out of their accounts and could link to or screen cap his tweets to criticize them. They can't, however, directly reply to the president. So, barring a settlement, the judge told the party she's going to make a ruling soon. So, being it's in New York, knowing the history here, a little politics in judicial seats, I would suspect that the president is going to lose this battle. The next social media hearings may be about gun violence. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he'd like to grill America's social media companies at a hearing about the way threats of gun violence, including against schools, spread online. And I guess why this matters, social media can be a potent vehicle for threats of violence. Earlier this week, school in Bayonne, New Jersey, shut down after threats of a school shooting appeared on social media. So I guess they want to find out how to detect, deter, report, all that stuff. So we'll see if that actually happens in an actual hearing. Square Cash, the Square Cash app. I don't know if many of you are familiar with this, but the Square Cash app now supports direct deposits for paychecks. So another company here getting in the banking business, if you use Square a lot, you can actually now deposit your employment check. In other words, AKA what you get for working your day job, into this system and then redistribute by Bitcoin, tie it to a debit card, etc. So this is a big step forward for Cash App and the financial service sector in general. My check is going into my bank. How many of you are tracking your TV, music, and reading habits? How many of you, many of us do no longer have DVD collections or CDs of albums and, we don't have a lot of books sitting on the shelves. How are you tracking all the stuff that you bought, own, have digitally? I got a great article here that talks a bunch of resources where you can track stuff that you bought and read and the review and ratings and all that. So there's a lot of online tools to do this for you today. You still have to keep track of your digital purchases, though. The Amazon device can now play a song you heard but can't remember the name of. And basically, you just have to kind of give it some generalities. And supposedly, it will find the song. So if you just tell it to play Rihanna songs I haven't heard in a while, it will start playing songs you haven't played in a while from Rihanna. So Amazon has been making its device more and more useful to listening when it's not laughing at you. It's introduced a support to its music app. It introduced a support for its music app last September, and it gave the ability to have the device find music to match various activities. So one app I really, be honest with you, don't get that well and has the worst search in the world is Spotify's app. It has the worst search. I've been waiting for my podcast to get added over there, and there's no way to search for podcast in Spotify. It's really, it's horrible. It's more set up to do genre listening instead of finding something specific by title. So anyway, all these program assisted devices are supposedly getting smarter. Twitter goes after accounts participating in cryptocurrency scams, and there's a lot of them out there. Shoko asked me tonight, she said, I got a friend, we're going to a cryptocurrency seminar. I'm like, what? I'm like, leave the checkbook at home. You can go and get educated, but don't take any money with you. I have no interest in going, but she's excited about cryptocurrency. Bots don't spread fake news on Twitter. People do, says MIT researchers. Well, of course people do. Someone posts something and people react. They retweet. They call it as gospel. But they did an analysis of 126,000 stories, some true, some false, tweeted more than 3 million people over 4.5 million times from 2006 to 2017. And they basically said that, that people are largely responsible for the spread of fake news. It's human rather than machines that are the root of the problem. People are just less interested in the truth, apparently, as those types of stories never reach beyond a depth of 10. Falsehoods were 70% more likely to be retweeted than the truth. You can't handle the truth. People pick an agenda and they automatically believe it. Spaceflight can be a pain for astronauts. Apparently, a lot of astronauts get a lot of headaches because the fluids in our head and nose and, it gives us, stuffy heads. That's worse in space. And even they're starting to find that astronauts are starting to report vision issues once they come back and change prescriptions and all kinds of things. So spaceflight can be hazardous. Haven't done your taxes yet? Well, there's some apps for that, and I wouldn't necessarily want to do my app over my mobile device, but I guess if you're single and you just are doing like a, 1040 EZ, you might be able to use your phone to file your taxes. They got TurboTax Refund app, QuickBooks Self-Employed, Mint, Google Drive, H&R Block Tax Prep and File. So a number of those. My kids use H&R Block. How to check the warranty status on any Apple device gives you instructions on how to do that. And if you don't know if you're still covered with your Apple Care or if the basic warranty of the product you purchase is still is eligible, you definitely can check that out. Or if you want to add Apple Care later, you can find out if it's still capable of having Apple Care added to it. Google's got a free course that breaks down machine learning for you. So it's pretty cool. They basically get into what AI is, and it's huge though. It's a machine learning crash course. It's 15 hours and it has enough exercise and real world case studies to ease you into the topic. I sent this link to my son, and of course he's pursuing a career in a degree in computer science, but he's focusing on security. And so I thought I'd send this over to him to take a look at, but it gets pretty deep in the weeds. Smartphones are getting more valuable for hackers. So it used to be the computers they were going after, but because so many people are doing so many different things, including most of your banking on your phones, that it appears that hackers are targeting heavily mobile devices. A low entry, high reward. And so make sure you're keeping your phones patched and you're keeping your apps up to date. Don't delay on that, because oftentimes app updates contain security fixes. NASA will fly you to the sun, or at least your name, on April 27th. Now until April 27th, NASA is accepting online submission for the hottest ticket in town. The names will be sent on the Parker Solar Probe all the way to the sun. Once launched this summer from Cape Canaveral, the probe will eventually come within 4 million miles of our star, closer than any other spacecraft. Temperatures will reach 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit as the spacecraft zips in and out of the atmospheric hot zone, and your name can be on board digitally in the database. Cool. If you're an Office fanboy, there's a good write-up on some of the features coming to Office 2019. I won't go through those, but I'll have the link up in the show notes. Have you cut the cord yet? Or are you having trouble cutting the cord? There's a good review of 5 signs that say you're not ready to cut the cord yet. And basically, 1, you have a channel list that's too long and it's not available on basically, if you cut the cord, you can't get it. There's a few for me that I can't get. Just need 2 or 3 more, but we're so close here. But 1 is the primary reason I haven't cut. 2, your DVR needs are too particular. I'm not worried about that. You have lots of TVs used simultaneously. That's not the case here. Your ISP steals you gives you a great TV deal. That's not the case here. Or maybe a fear change. So for me, maybe 1 in 5. But I keep looking at my bill and the fear is quickly going away. Hey, MoviePass has made an update. Essentially, it tracks you less. The update hopefully stops the MoviePass watching you drive to the movies and where you go afterwards. I think they were really interested in being able to offer you more stuff because they could do that. So while you sat there watching your new movie every day for $10 per month, MoviePass collected a lot of information. In the CEO's own words, we watch how you drive home to the movies. Well, we watch how you drive from home to the movies. We watch where you go afterwards. And this got a lot of people upset, and people were complaining and saying, hey, why are you spying on me? And he shouldn't open his mouth. Now they had to lock it down a little bit. Hey, a Rubik's robot solved a puzzle in 0.38 seconds. It was so fast that they had to use slow motion cameras to catch it all. My son is a Rubik's Cube genius. You give him one, and he just like 2.5-3 minutes, it's knocked out. Click, 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 click. And both of them are now getting really fast. Give me a Rubik's Cube, it'll sit there for a week, so I'll never get solved. Oh, by the way, if your Alexa was laughing out loud, well, they're working on a fix. So some users have been saying that it's been laughing all of a sudden. And some reported the outburst happened after it was asked to turn on the lights. So did someone do a little programming they shouldn't? Who knows? But if your device is laughing at you, you're not alone. This should not come as a surprise. An audit has found that the Department of Homeland Security, an audit finds the Department of Homeland Security's security is insecure. Yeah, no kidding. It's a U.S. government. Really? In an agency-wide audit titled Evaluation of Department of Homeland Security Information Security Program for Fiscal 2017, It's incredible here. Based on a scale of 5 possible maturity levels, 1, ad hoc, 2, defined, 3, consistently implemented, 4, managed and measurable, and 5, optimized, Department of Homeland Security Information Security Program rated 3 in 3 of 5 areas. Shy passing grade of level 4. They fell short in implementing various configuration settings, software updates, didn't monitor software licenses, didn't patch vulnerabilities. Why am I not surprised? When I was in the Navy had this system called the Navy Marine Corps Internet. I called it the non-mission capable Internet. Oh boy. Well, they'll be next to get hacked if they haven't been hacked and owned already. The Vatican, of all places, hosted a hackathon. The event called VHacks brought together 120 students for a 36-hour hackathon aimed at finding technological solutions for 3 global issues that the Catholic Church hopes to address: social inclusion, interfaith dialogue, and assistance for migrants and refugees. So very, very cool. Where did they bring the students in from? Let me see, where does it say? No, it doesn't say where the 120 people came from, the 120 students. Hopefully they brought them in from all over the world. But anyway, something sponsored here by the Vatican. All right, final article of the day. Best Buy's 3-day sale has some of the best tech deals around. So whether it be a home theater display, whether it be some Beats earbuds or a MacBook or a smart lock, they've got some great deals going on. So the link is up in the show notes. It's from Android Central. Let me see if, of course, we got, again, and people, when it comes to talking about taxes, you guys do not want me talking on the show about it. But of those of it sent me comments based upon the end of the show commentary from the last show. And if you didn't listen to the end, you missed it. All of you seem to be pretty pleased that you're getting extra money in your paycheck. And most of you agreed with me that you can spend your money better than Uncle Sam can spend the money it takes us out of your pocket for taxes. So again, I think if everyone had to pay their taxes, if they had to write a check every month, things would change in America, but that's not the case. All right, we're long. Everyone, thanks for being here. Todd at, Geek News. I'm almost telling you my blueberry email. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place. Don't forget, we talked about the beginning of the show about how you, as part of the Ohana, have your own audience and how your sphere of influence, we can use information coming from you in the show that'll expand your influence to other people that are part of our audience. And then we build this thing out. All right. So you already talked about that enough. If you skip through the first part of the show, you want to go back and listen to that. It's important, some dialogue from me today. But please continue to support the sponsor. For all of you that are insiders and are coming in at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month, thank you so very much for your ongoing support. Please keep track of your accounting. Let me know when you hit key milestones. And if you aren't an insider already, we want you to be. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Your contributions are greatly appreciated. It helps the production of the show here a great deal. Every penny that you give to the show goes directly back into the show. Doesn't go to Todd. It goes right back into producing the content, paying for the writers, paying for Kirk's salary, all that stuff that goes into that. So thank you for your ongoing support. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. My name is Todd Cochran. You've been listening to Geek News Central, geeknewscentral.com. Drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com. Take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast.